sounds really good, actually.
Okay.
But because I think it's because it doesn't sound amplified because we have the speakers close to us. You know what I mean? None of the speakers are up too high because we're also just closer to the speakers.
Also, I put them all on speech. They weren't all on speech.
Oh, okay.
Someone had moved them. Frequency was off.
Yeah, I understand. Discussing together how they could make their own cricket when they got home and load her up. And I had talked about the horse rearing with the tack on it and rolling end over end down the hill. And one of the guys really got a hold of that. There's a hill out in the back of his house, so he's going to load his cricket up and then roll her down the hill. I sure hope the pack stays on. Yeah, I'm not sure I would do that, but anyway. I learned one of my takeaways from down there was I learned something new about the military, and that is that a hat is called a cover. And so they would say to somebody, where's your cover? It means you don't have your hat on, where is it? And I found it very interesting that as we have talked about prayers, prayer being a covering, and the having over the whole thing, that idea came out. And so for the last day, I brought in my hat, and I said, and I told him about the umbrella protection that was taught in the basic seminar. You have this umbrella over your family, but there's a hole in it. Wet underneath your umbrella. And he said, just be sure that every day when you will leave your house, you got your cover. And that connected, and that was meaningful. And so thank you for helping me get ready to go, and thank you for your prayers while we were there. This morning we're in Acts 12, and you have the Bible. Like to turn to that. I'm going to go through it this morning, and you might find it helpful to follow along. We titled this, In the Darkest Hour, Pray for a Miracle. I thought it would be important for us to define what a miracle is. And so a miracle is a natural or a supernatural event. The thing that makes it the miracle is the precise timing. It happened right at this time. So whether it was natural or supernatural, the timing is what makes it the miracle. So first thing we find in Acts 12 is Peter is arrested. And that's in verses 1 to 19. Verse 1 says, now about that time Herod the king laid hands on some who belonged to the church in order to mistreat them. This Herod is Herod Agrippa the First. He's the grandson of Herod the Great, and Herod the Great is the guy that ordered the infants killed in Bethlehem. So this is the grandson of the guy that had the babies killed early on. The date right now is AD 44, which is amazingly 10 years from the time that Saul began to persecute the church. We read through Acts and we just read all these events and they're one right after another and we don't feel the time in there. 10 years is a long time for this persecution and troubles to be going on. And verse 2 says, and Herod had James' brother John put to death with the sword. Now, that kind of sounds like our day, doesn't it? ISIS is killing people with a knife or a sword, and that's what's going on clear back there in the scripture. And now, remember, Peter and James and John were the first disciples that Jesus called. And they were also the first to be named apostles. So they were the three innermost guys that the Lord had with him. They were there at Jairus' daughter when she was raised. They were at the Mount of Transfiguration. James and John were very zealous, and so they picked up the nickname Sons of Thunder. And so this is, that's a blank there, you know, Sons of Thunder. But I want us to realize that 11 years earlier, Peter and John were arrested for preaching in Jerusalem in Acts 4. Now, that's kind of amazing. That was 11 years earlier, Peter and John. You remember when they were let loose, they were severely threatened. If you don't quit talking about Jesus, some bad things are going to happen to you. Another interesting fact is that James is the only apostle that is recorded in the scripture as being killed. He's the only one. And his brother, John, wrote Revelation, and after that, he died, and that's 52 years later. So here James is killed, but his brother lives until he's an old man and he died of old age. In verse 3 it says, "And when Herod saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also, now during the days of unleavened bread." So this is the second time that Peter's been jailed for preaching the gospel. And the unleavened bread, that was the week before Passover. Passover is equal to our Easter, so it's the week before Easter. So this year would be the week before April 16th. Verse 4, "And Herod had seized Peter, and he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending after the Passover to bring him out before the people." Now, a squad is four. So he was before four squads, so he was put in charge of 16 soldiers, and they were to make sure that he did not escape. And that was their job. And then he was going to bring him out, and evidently the idea is, and this is that blank, he was going to put Peter to death publicly. So he had Peter in prison. He'd already killed James. He had Peter there, and was going to. And here he is. Wouldn't this seem pretty hopeless to be in prison, guarded by 16 soldiers, in a prison? But that's where Peter was. So verse 5. "So Peter was kept in prison, but prayer for him was being made fervently," King James says, "without ceasing, by the church of God." I find that interesting. The church was not figuring out how to do civil disobedience.